With cities and states across the U.S. struggling with a bad economy, decreased tax revenue, and budget shortfalls, some governors and legislators are campaigning hard to reduce the compensation and power of public employees' unions. Governors in many states are demanding layoffs, cuts in state employee benefits, and wage freezes. But along with the predictable calls for austerity caused by severe budget crises, some conservative politicians and activists are seeking to cripple the power of labor by blocking the mandatory collection of union dues and denying state workers the right to organize unions and negotiate contracts. The campaign to turn public opinion against organized labor has included the charge that union members are overpaid and make more on average than private sector workers. However, a study recently conducted by the Economic Policy Institute found that state and local public employees earn about 11% less than their private sector counterparts. Behind the scenes, the American Legislative Exchange Council, comprised of corporate executives and Republican Party legislators, is promoting and disseminating templates for anti-union laws to state legislatures across the U.S. Many union activists charge that the drive targeting labor is motivated by partisan politics, with the goal of undermining unions' ability to contribute to mostly Democratic Party candidates. Between the Lines' Scott Harris spoke with Mark Brenner, director of Labor Notes magazine, who assesses the current campaign against public employees' unions and the labor movement's response.
You know, we have to take stock of where we were 2 years and some change ago, when, you know, the entire country, hell, the entire world recognized that it was, you know, bankers and CEOs who for over three decades have been absolutely running roughshod over the rest of us and definitely operating without any effective oversight or regulation. You know, greed was good. That was the mantra. The market will solve all problems. You know, everybody recognized 2.5 years ago that strategy, that whole constellation of policies and sort of approach to economic policymaking drove the U.S. economy and practically the whole world economy off a cliff. And now, you know, a short 2 years later, we're in a situation where it's not the CEOs and the bankers who are responsible for this global economic meltdown. It's public school teachers and librarians. And it's really an Alice in Wonderland kind of world we're living in when you're blaming home care workers and ambulance drivers for these economic problems. And in my mind, I think it's really a, kind of a twofold bait and switch. I mean, on the one hand, you know, it's definitely the rich and the people who've been raking it in for 30 years trying to get it out of the limelight and really change the subject, you know, kind of turn the spotlight off of them and onto other people and pit worker against worker.
Mark, maybe you can tell us a bit about the efforts underway state to state. Some Republican governors who are supported by newly elected Republican legislatures are attempting to roll back unions' rights to organize, to strike, to have any kind of effective leverage at the bargaining table. Maybe you could specify some of what's going on out there.
Well, I think that there's a couple different flavors that we're talking about. For public sector workers, you're seeing things like in Ohio, where John Kasich, the new governor, is moving to limit the right to strike for teachers. In other states, they're trying to expand right to work laws. I think seven states now have some plan underway to implement right to work, which essentially bans private sector unions from entering into contracts that would require people that work at the company where the union represents the workers to either have to join the union or pay some portion of union dues for the servicing that they, you know, receive under the union contract, which is a major blow to union strength. And it's you know, led to nothing but lower wages and higher incidences of poverty in the South, which is where right to work really is kind of firmly entrenched. Another thing that's happening that I think is a really big blow is in areas where unionization has finally arrived in the public sector, people who are like home care workers or child care workers who really take care of some of the most vulnerable people in our society, their right to be in a union is being called into question. A lot of these folks were allowed to unionize by executive order, and now that Republicans are coming in certain states, they're trying to undo those orders. And even in states where you know, we've got Democratic governors in California and New York. There's definitely the old-fashioned attack on unions, which is just through layoffs and essentially a political battle. So I think from the private sector to the public sector, particularly in the public sector right now, Republicans and some Democrats have it absolutely in their sights that they're coming after the labor movement.
Mark Brenner, what about public opinion here? It seems that the conservative and corporate interests that are working to undermine unions can really only get away with the full extent of what they're trying to do to weaken unions if public opinion is somewhat on their side. Tell us a little bit about where you think public opinion is right now and what the unions can do to fight back.
Well, I think that there's no question there's a 24-hour spin machine at work here trying to, paint a picture of public employees as overpaid, as in cush jobs, as raking in outsized pensions, as essentially, getting fat while the rest of America is suffering. And, of course, left out of this story is, A, the truth. Most public employees are hardworking. They make fairly modest salaries. They're paid about 11% less than their counterparts in the private sector. And unfortunately, from my mind, the labor movement has been far too afraid of taking our case to the public and actually defending loudly and proudly what public sector workers do. Look, we're the watchdog on corruption. We're the people who actually are defending the most vulnerable people in society. And so, what I think labor's job is really to try to get out there and do a lot more this sort of agitation around what government could and should be. And frankly, to find people who are willing to go out and run for office and try to put that into practice. It's not just that average citizens have a lower expectation of what government can do. Frankly, most politicians, Democrat and Republican alike, have really little to no imagination, little to no creativity, and really, really low expectations about what government could and should do.
That was Mark Brenner, director of Labor Notes. Read his recent article, Public Sector, Public Good, online at the magazine's website, labornotes.org.